keeping your IT team sharp isn't optional, it's essential. CBT Nuggets delivers high-quality IT training led by real-world experts who know what teams actually need on systems teams will actually use. Whether it's staying current on cloud, networking, or security, CBT Nuggets makes training simple, effective, and scalable. No fluff, no wasted time, just smarter, faster IT teams. Thousands of companies trust CBT Nuggets, and yours can too. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and start training today.
I wear Chanel. If I was a woman, I'd wear Chanel every fucking day. All I wear would be Chanel. Summer Chanel, winter Chanel, Chanel purses. I would love it. I would love it, love it, love it. If I was a high-powered executive, I would wear Chanel. I'm like, Karen, you have to wear Chanel.
I don't understand this.
Jess, what would you wear if you were a high-powered woman?
If I was a high-powered executive, there's no question I'd be all in Under Armour.
A dress barn?
Yeah. As a woman?
A dress barn. Can there be a worse name for a women's clothing store than dress barn? Who the hell started that? That is even successful.
Someone must have put it on there and said, look, I'm going to do this as a joke. And it's stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the last place you would put clothes in?
A barn.
Dress zoo.
Yeah, like who's in a barn? Cows. You know what I mean?
What was second place?
Stable dresses. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it skirt sewer?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's true. I talked to one of our active listeners today, yesterday, and they were saying that.
Did you say yesterday?
Active listeners yesterday.
Okay.
And they said that listening to us talk puts them to sleep sometimes.
Oh my God! I don't even know how to take that.
Mm-hmm. So and they also said, if I may, that I was the.
Well, you asked.
I was the Beyonce of the show.
You're the Beyonce.
Get the hell out of here.
In what way? That you had to be heard over everybody.
They said that Dave is the Rock, Josh is funny.
Dave is the Rock or a Rock?
Yeah, I'm the Rock. I'm sure
the
it's yeah.
The is better than a.
Yeah, and yeah, no, the.
Dang it! Yeah. Dave's just a rock.
That's funny.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS Podcast, Friends Talking Shop. I'm your host, Dave. When I hear I am the Rock of the podcast, I'm not funny or Beyonce. I am just a rock.
There's a bit of hearsay there. You know me with my tall tales.
Oh, is this an embellishment? Okay.
So embellishment.
So to clue you in, Omar was telling me one of you listeners out there who is very kind to give some feedback to Omar, told him that he was the star of the show, basically.
Yes.
I am just a rock.
Embellishment there.
Now, conversations are privy.
What? No, Josh records all these and he'll put them in the beginning of the show.
But no one would have heard that.
That's literally the opposite of privy, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's keep going. This is I'm your host, Dave. This is episode 49, 49th podcast. We are one away from our 50th anniversary show, which we are lining up. An amazing lineup for you on the 50th.
A lot of celebs.
Big celebrities are stopping in, big giveaways. It's probably going to be our longest podcast. We're reserving a good 8-hour clip for us to do the 50th podcast. You will not be disappointed. Set your take off work and be ready for it.
You know what our lead-in music should be?
That's kind of copyrighted.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But I don't know what the story is. If you do only a certain amount on Spotify, like, can you get away with like some copyrighted music? I'm not sure how that works.
We're allowed to use copyrighted music at all.
Yeah, that's
we just stay away. Our team of attorneys have told us just stay away completely.
What
happens? Like, what's the worst that could happen to us?
Death.
That would be
someone
the worst
once used "Can't Touch Us" by MC Hammer, and he decapitated them. That's a true story. So I don't want that happening.
Strange
it's
tales.
Just not worth it.
Tales.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue on with the podcast. As I said, I'm your host, Dave, and I am doing fine because I just got back from the Canadian Rockies. I won't go into detail of my week-long trip to the Canadian Rockies because Omar doesn't want to hear apparently anything more about my trip. I spoke a few seconds
too
long.
Look, I think if you're going to go through one of these, it's like you tell me how you got from St. Louis to New York. I don't want to hear about the car ride and the Uber and the airplane and the.
He wasn't telling that part. He was telling about
it was as interesting as this. He was talking about it in a very monotone way. There's no excitement in his voice. He didn't want to talk about it.
Look, I can't be a rock and be exciting. Like I've got my role. I've got a
rock.
No, here's your issue. Josh is categorically uncomfortable with silence. So he was pulling stuff out of you.
Is that true? Josh, you didn't care?
He doesn't care about your vacation.
I asked pertinent questions that I cared about.
Do you want to remind us what Dave was talking about? Do you remember anything that he said?
I remember it all.
Give us an example.
He talked about the bear he saw.
That was a video.
Yeah, but he saw it.
I did. I saw a grizzly bear.
And it was a grizzly bear. He talked about the color of the water. He talked about how it was
that was
a resort feel,
else.
But camping outside, resort inside, camping outside.
Very good.
Yeah, listen to everything.
That's
right. Actually, you know what? I will, say the picture
you talked about
sent,
that rash
that
on his nether regions. He talked about everything. We heard it all.
The picture you sent of that was actually quite spectacular. So that was worth sending.
I feel like my contribution to the podcast isn't to be funny or to be weird. But it's to inform people. And I would say if you haven't been to the Canadian Rockies, especially as like a couple and you want an anniversary trip, it's not too far away. You know, it's not like going to Europe. It is spectacular. And June is a good time to go. That's my public service announcement real quick.
I have a great idea for a business. Ready?
Right. Your Tourette's is out.
No,
of
wait a
control.
Second. I'm talking about it. Wait, I will
even
transition it.
Intros. We haven't even sent the email address. And you are.
David said, great place for couples to go to. Yes. No one speaks to the guy with a dog community. Mm. So we should have a book about places to go if you're a guy with a dog.
Mm.
Right?
That's really not a business opportunity. That's just a book.
But I actually would recommend this place for you and Miles as well.
Omar, oh.
I do. I think it's, you take outside, you have lots of places to hike.
Amazing.
You know what it's called?
It's called TripAdvisor, and there's a little box that says allows pets, and you click it, and there you go. And now you've got your whole business.
Oh, man. Joshy.
All right. Well, let me introduce our other host here to move this along. So we got to quickly get to episode 50 as quickly as possible. So we got to burn through this 49th episode.
You want to tell them how to reach us, Dave?
Well, I will do that in a second, Josh. Right. I'm hosting, and I'll do it in my time.
Oh, jeez.
So let me ask you, Josh, how are you? Josh is another one of our hosts. How are you doing today, Josh?
I could be better. I'm doing all right. I threw my back out for the third time.
Oh, my God.
Yes, for the third time, right before the July 4th weekend. So that was absolutely brutal. So I was at the beach and had to get everything carried for me. My chair, it was awful. I could barely throw cornhole or bags, Dave. So I don't want you laughing at the name.
I'm already on it. Yeah.
I could barely throw that. I didn't get up to do that till the Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, I was able to throw without much pain, but it's brutal. But I did watch as is a tradition, I guess, for everyone. Tell me if you guys watch it. Every July 4th weekend, they play Back to the Future. And do you know why? On TV, the original Back to the Future.
I don't know why.
Really?
Wait, is there a July 4th up against the clock? Why?
No. Nope. It's because the movie came out July 3rd. And so every July 4th, that's how I equate it. It's July 4th weekend. But it's really July 3rd. They play
that's
it on July
not,
3rd.
That doesn't make – it should be – Independence Day would make more sense.
Well, the
no, no,
Back
no.
The
Independence
Future
Day,
was released.
Independence Day, they play the movie Independence Day.
Yeah, on Independence – what? I'm talking about that's July 4th.
What are you saying?
Dave's makes sense. What I'm telling you is Back to the Future was released in 1985 on July 3rd. And so every year on July 3rd, they play Back to the Future. And I don't watch the whole thing, but I always flip around because it's a good movie. Yeah. And for those of our listeners who haven't seen it, well, one of you, I imagine everybody's seen Back to the Future.
Do you think they could make that movie today? They could not.
Yeah,
why?
I think they could. There's a little – well, I'll tell you why. Okay, so Biff basically rapes his mother. But he is the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's
saved.
He's saved, right. Yeah, so what about it? I don't understand what
– the scene where the terrorists come out?
Yeah, the Libyans. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right,
yeah,
right.
And that's actually the scene that I was watching.
That was, I was thinking that, too.
That's my favorite scene.
So for those who don't know the movie, it's this high school kid played by Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly, and he basically – now, here's the part that disturbs me, and I want to get your take on this. This is what I was going to bring up. But he is friends with a middle-aged scientist, Dr. Emmett Brown.
Middle-aged?
Yeah, don't you think he's like 50 years old, 55?
Wait, hold on. Am I middle-aged?
Yeah, you're middle-aged.
Doc Brown has got like wild white hair that I remember. I thought he'd be old. I wouldn't consider
him. So you think he's older?
I think he's older.
Okay, maybe he's older. Even worse for my story. So he's friends with this scientist. Let's call him 65, right? Okay. Mad scientist who creates a time machine. And and Marty McFly accidentally goes back and then has to correct things because he screws up his whole family dynamic and everything else. But anyway, but the part – I rewatched it this time, this weekend, and I went in the same vein when – I don't know if you remember several episodes ago where I talked about Revenge of the Nerds as my topic. Yep. And how you watch it back and you go, wait a second. This is
–
Benny, right?
Right. I'm going, the nerds committed felonies. You know, this is a completely different movie watching it in today's world. This one struck me too, because I'm thinking the movie makers never come up with a backstory, or at least show you the backstory on how this high school kid is best friends with a 65, 7-year-old mad scientist. They just jump right into it and just want the audience to just go, oh, okay, these guys are friends. Makes sense. This is a single man, this crazy scientist, Dr. Brown, is best friends with a high school kid?
Is there a topless scene in that movie?
There's no topless scene in that movie.
No.
There's not?
I don't know what you're thinking
is
of.
Is that
yeah.
what you're thinking about why I'm talking?
Yeah, no, I was thinking about
some,
what else is
you're thinking of some spoof you've watched, probably.
Do you think that – isn't that weird? I know I didn't watch it. When I originally watched it, I just accepted it. Well, okay, yeah, fine. He's friends.
I don't know. Like, you know, if it's
That's
a neighbor
weird.
Or something. I mean,
yeah, people have eccentric neighbor friends.
He's not a neighbor. He doesn't live next door. And he's like the main – he's his best friend.
But there's so much of a gap. I don't know. I feel like I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I think it's the incest.
Really?
The incest bothers me.
I haven't either.
Of course the incest bothers you, but they never go through with that. And,
no.
And they also don't know that they're mother and son. Well, she doesn't know she's his mother.
Right, right. But still, it's uncomfortable to watch with your mother, right? Do you watch it with
your
mom in the room?
Family. We were all around the couch and we flipped around. It was on. We watched that part.
That's weird.
But
no, I mean, that's nice.
I just think it's incredibly weird that they don't set up that there's some sort of relationship history here. So at least we know the origins of how these two became friends. They just jump right in. Like, you know, that first scene, he gets out of bed and he's going to school and then he meets Doc Brown. I'm going,
I actually
brought
that movie up the other day. Because remember when Biff got the betting thing and he became a billionaire?
That's Back to the Future 2.
Yes.
That's not the original. That's
with
the
sports almanac.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is the whole reason I'd want to go Back to the Future.
I think about that premise often.
Of course.
I mean, I actually kind of think it through. Like, if I had it, how would I exactly do it? Would I just bet
go
on
to Vegas? You go to Vegas.
Well, of course, I go to Vegas. But would you just do the Super Bowl and the World Series? We do every game. Like, how much would you put down? Like, would
you
got to
be strategic about it because you don't want anyone catching on to you. I mean, if you're winning every bet, they're going
to
know that you went back
to lose
in time
so
and got a sports.
You'd have to lose once in a while. You'd have to
lose.
Make a big pitch. Like, would you pick, like, remember when the Twins
you know
the
who'd
World
be
Series?
Very good at this? Is Bernie Madoff.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Because he had a return stream that was, like, wasn't that great, but was good enough to get money.
He was good at hiding it. You come up with something where I feel like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and then I think, no, that's actually not too bad.
Everything I say, Josh just rips into it.
I think it was pretty dumb. He got caught.
You know what? You remind me of my oldest sister.
He went to prison.
Nothing is good enough.
But his point is that he was able to hide his earnings for a long time, like you would.
Yes, but there's a big difference. Look, if you go back in time and get a sports almanac
there is a difference.
Time.
Right. Or you go not back in time. He went forward in time, got the sports almanac,
right,
and then went back in time, back, and then kept the almanac, and then he knew all the winners. So you have to lose a couple, and you'd have to spread your bets around. But you actually could do just one ginormous bet on a long shot. And then that's it. That's all you need.
Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the Sparks Almanac like that or like a 10 years version of the Wall Street Journal?
Well, hold on, Omar. I didn't hear the question. What was it?
A monthly newspaper of the Wall Street Journal for like 3 years or something. Ooh. Would you rather do stocks or would you rather do sports betting? Because I think if you had stocks, you could get away with much bigger numbers than the sports. Actually, I think is kind of challenging. You'd have
no question.
There's
no question. But you could do like, I can't think of anything, but you could do like if there was a Super Bowl winner for a year, right? And they're a long shot. I'm trying to think what year that would be. But
I was saying like the Atlanta Braves when they won the World Series.
Yes.
Right.
But if you bet that before the season starts, the odds are astronomical.
Right.
So, I mean, it would be phenomenal. Or just horse races. You could get exactas correct. You know?
Yeah.
I
think you can only do a couple. But if you knew what the S&P was doing, my goodness, you know,
it would be I don't think it would be easier because it would be longer to collect your winnings. Unless you did everything, you know, with options. And now we're getting a little technical here that people don't want to know.
Sure, if we did a swaption.
It would be more exciting if you did the sports thing and you're surrounded by people and you told people, here's a lock. This is a lock. The Braves are going to win the World Series this year. Lock it in right now. And then you get reputation and everyone's like, wow, this guy's unbelievable. He picks all the win. And it'll be more exciting and cooler, I think. I'd rather do the sports. I'm going to do the sports betting.
How about you, Omar?
Yeah, I was thinking about like if doing it, because it's like the Heisenberg principle thing almost, where like if you're actually betting large amounts of money on games, could it actually alter the results of future games going forward?
Oh, I thought about that too.
Oh, wow.
Well, think about that from an investing point of view. Let's say all of a sudden you are like the master. You know where Mark's going to go. Now all of a sudden you're changing behavior.
That would change things.
Right.
Plus, if you bet a lot, Dave, in the market, that could actually move and get noticed.
That's right. That's right. So it might fail. Maybe it's just enough to tip someone in a way that, you know,
think you placing a sports wager is going to change anything.
Unless it's fixed.
Yeah, but you already know. You have the almanac.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Is your bet changing the future? Yeah. And you think no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's
I'm
going
to say no. I'd like to try it out. I'll tell you that much.
Yes, I would too. I think about that idea a lot of like if I had that almanac, how exactly would I do that?
Oh, it'd be cool. It'd be so cool. And you'd maze all your friends. Friends would be like, wow, this guy's unbelievable.
I'd fake charts.
But would they really be your friends?
What are you talking about? They're your friends before you got the almanac.
Oh, that's true.
Omar, right. you are our third host. How are you doing? Tell us something about your life that's going on.
I am really happy to see you guys, number one.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is nice. I've had a really – I realized a few days ago that I don't feel that I was putting my best effort into our previous podcast.
What?
Yeah, I didn't feel I was. And so I'm like, you know what? I need to be more because Josh is. You guys are both consistent. I think I have a little bit more volatility. maybe we're each of our own harshest critics. Do you guys think that you guys have good ones and bad ones? Energy wise,
yes. Sure. No question.
Energy wise, no you do.
I think you have no good question. Ones and bad ones for sure.
Mm-hmm. Josh reminds me about this pesky point guard for the NC State, Chris Corcioni.
Oh, Chris Corcioni. You know? Yeah.
Always
that was a long time ago. That was
always,
in the 90s.
Always brought the energy every day.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. David, you're more of like a Luke Longley. Quite.
Or, no, that's not good. I don't
or
want
to like rock. A big country, Brian Reeves.
Big country. That's a horrible analogy.
Yeah, why was that supposed to be some kind of a compliment? So as you
Okay, trivia, where did he play basketball?
Who?
Big country.
Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah, look at you. Josh is so proud of himself. Wow, you crushed him. Well done.
Country.
Yeah.
Sounds
great. I'm fantastic.
Big country and a rock. That's the two things I've been told. So you're happy to see us. That's good. And you have Miles. It looks like you're in a happy place.
I have Miles. I was here July 4th. I didn't travel. Do you guys remember where you were last July 4th?
Yeah, same place I was this July 4th.
So do you remember? Okay. So you're okay. So you remember immediately, Josh. Dave, do you remember?
Oh, yes. My daughter got married on July 2nd. So it would have been right after her. She's been, she just
passed. Were there fireworks that night?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Josh, do you remember that?
My daughter would never.
Josh, I get nothing from you, Josh. You know.
You got a little. It was good.
I saw the top of your teeth, which, by the way, I can always see, I can always see the top of your teeth.
Don't you? I don't want to talk about it. Different topic.
I love you guys. Anyway, I'm fantastic.
All right. And Josh, I hope you didn't brush off your bad back.
You're not going to be all right?
You're right?
No, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like the getting old and it's that aging.
But Josh, besides, can I ask you something? Besides playing sports, and you are, and I'm quite jealous of that you have to engage a part of your brain and stuff. I am. But do you do anything, like, do you work out?
Yes.
Lift weights?
Yes. I do.
How many push-ups can you do, Josh?
Oh, I don't do push-ups.
But how many could you do? 10?
No, I can do a lot of push-ups.
Like Dave Erickson style, or like me, or like my style?
Oh, come on.
I could do, I don't even know what that
means. I have pictures that can show.
I could do legitimate
push-ups. David goes down 3.5 inches.
Stop it. Look, the push-up contest that Omar and I did, he stopped after like 15 to take his chain off. And then he resumed, and I counted that as a total. So don't you tell me about how much I lower my push-ups.
You know what? That is actually – that is a fair thing to say, David.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate you telling me that.
So are you bringing energy today? Is that what I'm hearing, Omar? Because you
I think
listened
so.
Back
I,
from last
I
episode.
I started off really slow today.
Okay.
And then the momentum picked up. And, yeah, I feel really – I feel actually – like, you know, I'm going to make it.
You know what it is? It's when you host versus when you don't host.
Yeah.
I think that
might be right.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
He likes to kind of sneak in the shadows and then wham, you know.
That's what you like.
Step over all of our comments. That's more his style. Yeah.
That's his style.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Well, let's get through some of the particulars. So again, you're listening to the podcast FTS Friends Talking Shop. We'd love to hear from you. We have an email address. We get so many emails, I can't contain it. But we want more.
We want more.
The email address is friends@fts.media. No.com or .net or anything like that. Just friends, plural, at fts.media. And if you like to see our website, which is constantly being updated with new content, lots of videos.
Good stuff.
It's like an OnlyFans?
It's not OnlyFans. That's the wrong analogy.
Our website's only three fans.
And that website is friends. That website is friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. That is friendstalkingshop, one word, .weebly, weebly.com. So check it out. Our OnlyFans site is linked to that website. And then we talked about that our whiskey giveaway is over.
Yes.
We are sponsored by this product. Josh, you're so good at it, and my memory's not so good. Can you do the advertisement real quick?
Sure. Proud sponsor, Deacon Whiskey. Smoky, sweet, and peat. Deacon Whiskey.
Thank you, Josh.
Yes.
And then let's describe the podcast. What you'll be hearing is kind of like what you've heard so far, a lot of mindless banter. But we do have some structure. Each of us comes ready with a topic, or at least two of us come ready with a topic. Another person comes up with the topic as we go, and we will discuss it. We have not discussed it ahead of time. And I'll go first. Since I'm the host, I can choose. I'll go first.
All right.
All right. And it has to do with my trip to Canada, Omar. Are you ready?
For the love of God.
I watched a show on my trip to Canada. So that's – and the show is called Muscles and Mayhem, an unauthorized story.
Yes.
American Gladiators.
Yes.
I'm not through it all the way yet.
Okay. I think you can still talk. Can I spoil – I mean, is there spoiling American Gladiators?
You can do it.
It got canceled. Spoiler.
Yeah.
but it was – so – and also it's the unauthorized story. So like – almost all of the participants and the directors and like producers are all on there. Like, who needs to authorize it to become an authorized version? Is it
maybe the person who owns it?
Yeah.
I think, like, there's got to be a company or a network that owns American Gladiators that probably
I guess that's right. So, but they got all the gladiators, Nitro, yeah. Gemini, Ice. Yeah.
That was the best show. I love that show.
So, Dave, tell people what it is, because a lot of people probably haven't seen it.
Yep, so I'll explain it, and then I want to ask if you guys watched it. So this is back in the 80s. I think it started in 89, 89, I think. And this was before reality TV that we know it. There's so much out there now, and especially now like on Netflix. We're watching this show called Sirens, which is a Korean show. It's women who are in teams of four, like the police. They're police, fire, stunt people. Like, they're a team, and they're on an island, and they're, like, basically playing capture the flag. They can fight each other for the flag, all this kind of stuff.
Oh, cool.
All this is, like, what a cool show, and we were watching it. But back in the 80s, this was all new, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what they did is they put a show together where normal people would fight against these gladiators. These were steroid-fueled bodybuilder-type people. And they would play these games.
Is that proven?
Yes.
Yeah, it's part of the documentary.
Yeah, they admit it. There's one point I think Nitro says took steroids and I stopped, and then later he's like, I was going on a trip on tour and I couldn't pack all my needles, so he like contradicts himself.
he might have been doing needle point in his defense.
Yes,
he might have been selling.
He could have been a big knitter. Yeah. You're right. And they play games, and if the common person could win, they'd get some kind of cash prize. But they would play games like Joust, yep, where they would have like these big cotton swab, like big sticks where they try and hit each other off the platform. They would climb up a wall and the gladiator would chase you and try and pull you off.
And they're dressed basically in like American flags.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, gladiators. They're all red, white, and blue.
But the men and women who are gladiators, they're both big. I mean, muscular power lifter.
Right, and just to be clear to the audience, this isn't Josh after like a trip to Arby's.
That's big. Right.
This is like muscle.
A real man.
Yes.
That's right.
Real muscle.
Real women. That's right. So, and it was an interesting arc. You know, at first they would have the contestants would be also people who were like bodybuilders and in shape. And then they sort of pivoted to say, no, let's have more of the common person fight against the gladiators.
Goliath.
And I thought that was, it was a really interesting show. And I guess the evolution was the first season was kind of a disaster. They didn't know how to do the games. They do the wrestling one on concrete instead of on a mat. They did all kinds of crazy stuff. But before I go into what I want to talk about is, did you guys obviously watch the show, and any memories from
part of my Saturday morning? It was a Saturday morning show and I absolutely never missed it.
Was that the beginning of your reality TV obsession, Josh?
I don't think I viewed it as reality TV. I think I viewed it as like, because like I watched professional, quote unquote, wrestling.
That's scripted.
Yeah, that was scripted. That was more reality TV than, I guess not.
That's interesting because this was not scripted as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but it wasn't like relationships and dialogue and, you know, following people around. It was just basically like a really neat, ingenious way to show like a boxing match, so to speak.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? It was like, it was just having people, small people try to beat big people in physical events. And that was just intriguing.
Did you watch it, Omar?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of it?
I watched a lot of it. I was obsessed. Like, I'm trying to remember like the ones I liked the most, but it was so cool.
Yeah. they adjusted the games. It got better. Some of the early games were lame. Yeah. They had one game that they modeled after David Letterman had a bit where he jumped off the trampoline and had a suit full of Velcro.
That was
ridiculous. And he jumped against the wall and stuck to the wall. Do you remember that David Letterman skit? Well, they did a gladiator game based on that where I guess gladiator had to push the person and see if they could stick to a wall, but it would never work. So they had
was there like a rock, like, you know, of the gladiators who actually became famous on the outside the show at all?
I think Nitro was on a couple of shows,
like Running Man or something with Schwarzenegger.
But they were all like LA people, so they were all California people that they plucked, you know, because they had auditions for this stuff.
Yeah, Gemini was like played NFL.
Yeah, they all had some sort of past with
one of the women was on a movie, and I remember the trailer was with John Ritter called Skin Deep. Do you remember this?
That was Zap.
Is that Zapp? So yeah, I remember the line because I was a young lad, yeah. And I remember, maybe not saying, but I remember she said something to him to the effect of like, I've worked 10 years on this body and tonight it's all yours. And John Ritter's like hiding under the covers. So.
Was that the movie where John Ritter is having coital relationships with a woman and then there's another man in the room and they're both like wearing like glow in the dark condoms.
What?
And they have like a sword fight. That's like part, it's like a comedy, like a rom-com.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I swear to God.
It might be Skinny.
John Ritter.
It sounds like it would be. I never saw that movie.
Rom-com, and it was a funny scene because they had like one of a pink glow in the dark, they were like green glow in the dark, and they like, anyway, it was, I'm not sure how it actually, the scene worked, but I remember the scene vaguely.
Yeah. So they got real big. I mean, even the gladiators got.
Yeah, the lightsabers got very big. Yeah.
Well,
Josh, you see what I did there?
Oh, you're doing it now? We have to like comment on every joke. Yeah, wait.
The A game is brought.
Josh, you better score all his jokes.
Yes.
To make him happy.
I got a pad out. Go ahead. Right.
My question is this toward the end, so I'm not going to spoil the end to this.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay.
So the gladiators at the end of the, I guess they're on 6, 7, 8 seasons or something. Toward the end, they were realizing we're not getting paid anything of significance. They went on a tour and they had to fight like the local, bodybuilders, or whatever at a stadium. And they kept to go every day were constantly in ice and having to get hurt and everything. And it's true. Like I never thought as watching it that the gladiators ever got hurt. I figured they were like made of steel, but it shows them, like just completely.
It was real.
It was real. Yeah.
It was very real. Those competitions were real.
There's one guy who was like a California looking guy, really long blonde hair, kind of a Fabio looking guy. He is that one where the guy switched.
Malibu. His name was Malibu.
Malibu is correct. Yeah. The contestant is swinging on a rope and the gladiator is standing on a circular, pillar and he's trying to knock him off and he's got like this shield, this padded shield that if he can push off the guy swinging and stays on the pillar, then he wins. He falls off, then the contestant wins. He gets hit one time so badly, he falls back. I mean, I don't know. Is he 10 feet in the air?
Oh, yeah, easily.
He falls. He gets up, kind of laughs it off. But then he said, I had separated ribs, cracked, like, sternum. Like, he had, like, multiple injuries from what looked like a pretty meaningless hit.
Well,
so,
that's one of the things they said, Dave, in early on in the documentaries. Like, they only hired, like, 4 gladiators to start with. And they quickly realized, oh, my God, you can't have these gladiators keep competing over and over and over again because they filmed multiple shows in one day.
Mm.
And they were getting just beat up.
Well, that gets to my point, which is at the end, they try to unionize and they say, we're holding out unless we get more money. And the people of the show realize – the star of the show isn't the gladiators. It's the concept. The concept is – so we can get a new person in here. This guy's named Tower. They're on tour and they're like, he's going to be fighting Tower. And Tower walks out. Never was a gladiator before. The crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're like, I don't care. He's dressed up in your flag and like he's big and whatever. And the question that the show poses is who was the star? Was it the gladiators themselves or was it the concept of the show? And I thought, because, they are, and it's interesting time to talk about this because,
Vanna White.
Vanna White's a good, interesting example.
Yeah,
is she retiring?
She wants more money. They're paying her $3 million a year to turn letters.
Yeah. And she wants 15,
she wants
which is what Pat Sajak got.
Well, now it's not Pat Sajak anymore, right? Now
it's
going to be
Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Another job.
Well, and then you've got, the writers strike going on right now. So, it's now that's a little bit different there, the content in a way. But it's,
whenever anybody says to me, like, white males have problems getting jobs in America, I just always point to Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, he's only one white male. But, yes, that's a great example.
He is able
to land.
He
has half the jobs.
He really does.
Yeah.
I'm landing on the side of it's the concept. It's the that really is the moneymaker. It's the wheel of fortune.
Are you saying that if they threw you two idiots in USA outfits, that you were the gladiators? The show would work.
No,
it's a good question.
At all, you're not listening. You just have to have another big gargantuan person in the. Listen, Dave's exactly right, and here's why. Because
you got to have personality too, though.
You're wrong.
I don't know. Stop. That's true.
This is the difference, and this is what they did. I don't know if they did this intentionally or if they did it by accident. But if you watch the show like we did growing up, I remember distinctly that after the competition, they would then interview the contestant. You know, how did that go? What did you think? Why did it work or why didn't it work? And then you get like 20 seconds, or not even 20 seconds, 2 seconds of the gladiator. And so the gladiator never had a chance to build a persona beyond just their name and looks. They never had that opportunity. And had they had that, like I equate it back to wrestling, had there been like a Hulk Hogan type of gladiator that never lost or that had some sort of tagline or that, you know, did some sort of move that was a signature move, then maybe there's something to be said that fans and viewers would like, I love that gladiator. That guy's awesome or that girl's awesome. But that was never the case. They were commodities.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the way the show was made, that they were commoditized and you could have really put really anyone out there. Yeah, the show would give backstory to the contestant. I think you're right though, Josh. You bring up a good point that if you had gone that way and made stars of the gladiators, the show might have lasted longer. That's
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what else you didn't see also? Is like I always wondered, I'm a big stat guy, and I remember this to this day as a kid. I always wanted to know. Flash the stats. What is Malibu's stats on the cannonball? On the, you know, like before this goes, like Malibu's won 10 of their last 11 cannonball matchups. They never did that.
Yeah.
You never knew how amazing or bad they, and the gladiators tended to do the same events. They didn't just switch up the events. They always tended to do the same events once they got into rhythm.
What event do you think you would be best at, Josh? Is there one in particular?
Yes. There's no question there's one in particular. Because it was the only one I would do.
it's the
one where the tennis balls, where they fire the tennis balls at you, because I'm like, there's no contact. I don't have to be tackled by a gargantuan 7 foot, 400 pound man.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? I want to do any of the others where I'm up on, what is it on those rings? Remember they had to go on the rings and then the gladiator would come to you and wrap you up and drag you 30 feet to the ground? No, thank you.
That was always the fun one. I agree.
No, thank you.
The worst one was like a goal line stand where the guy's running with the football and the gladiator would tackle you.
No, thank
that was not good for anybody. Everybody got hurt on that one. That was a bad game.
Yes.
But I always thought the joust one with the
two.
Yeah,
I do the joust. That too.
I was surprised the gladiators weren't just good at that after a while, that they would, you know, or that they got some like training from.
They did get a trainer. Remember they talked about that in, like the second episode.
But you watch the highlights. They're just swinging around like, you know, they're. Yeah. Don't have no idea what they're doing. It's you have a little guy just, you know, rather than swinging it, they push and sure enough the gladiator falls off. I feel like they should have a better technique. I never saw them improve at that, but
they need to remake the show. It would be amazing if they brought it back with all new stuff, bring it back, new gladiator, obviously new gladiators. You can't put 60-year-olds out there, but it would be amazing.
You don't think they're, well, you know, you've got Survivor.
That's not gladiators. That's an American.
No,
gladiator.
But I mean, we've taken like the concept and improved it so much that if you were to go back to it, do you still think it would be like you'd have to really make a good story out of it?
There is nothing like it on TV today. Nothing.
Hmm.
Think about it. There's nothing.
American Ninja Warrior.
No, it's funny you say that because that's what I was thinking was the closest thing. It's American Ninja Warrior, but with physical human impediments. American Ninja Warrior, you're just doing an obstacle course.
Hmm.
Now, in American Gladiators, you do an obstacle course with gargantuan people trying to beat the shit out of you. That's a better dynamic, in my opinion.
I think you'd have to be really creative with the games. Like, you couldn't go back to the simple games that they had then. You know,
the sets would be so amazing today versus what they had in the early 90s. They got to recreate it. It'd be great.
I don't know. That's a good question. Could it work today? And would they have it?
100%.
As a, you know, in when we watched it, we would watch, you know, it was on, you could have what, 30 episodes in a season. Now we're used to chunks of 8 to 10, you know, episodes.
Look at look at Ninja Warrior, right? This is a great example. That's I don't know how good of a show that is ratings wise, but it's been on the air for a long time.
right?
Awesome.
American
Ninja
Warrior. Okay, so I used to like it. Then it got incredibly dull for me because it was the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And it's the warped wall. It's the salmon ladder. It's, and I know they've changed up the little events on the obstacle course, but the show got incredibly stale. But when you have American Gladiators, even though you're doing the joust every time, it's a different, you don't know what the outcome is. And it's a different experience because it's person versus person. So it could be anything. You just don't know. I can't watch 500 people run up a warped wall. It gets boring.
But in the end with this show, the people who demanded more money, they got kicked off the show.
Yeah, of course.
The show went on. It ended up, you know, I guess you could say that the show won, but it only lasted for, I think, a few more seasons after they left. And then they brought them back, you know, to try to kind of recreate some interest. So, but it eventually died out. But my answer is that it's the show, it's the concept of the show that is the winner, not the individuals. And I do think it's interesting, and it's sad to say because people want to strike more money, whatever. And a lot of times it is not the person, it's the system that is. But
listen, this is a great example because we're now learning this in a big way. And my wife hates when I say this because we're big fans, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jeopardy. All right. We love Jeopardy. Watch it almost every night. Everyone, Alex Trebek, I mean, he's been a staple on that show for so long. And when he died, which was awful, because I loved Alex Trebek, everyone like, oh no, what are they going to do? And now they have Ken Jennings and Mayim Bialik. I tell you, the show is just as good.
Yeah.
It's just as good. There's no fallout at all. I hate to say it. I don't want to say anything bad about Alex Trebek because he was awesome, but it's apparent that more than one people can do it and it still can be good.
You know what my favorite game show was? What was that? No Whammies?
Yeah, it's called Press Your Luck. And it's on Prime Time. They brought it back.
With Press the Devils coming up. Yeah, I love that. I love whammies. Saying no whammies. No whammies.
You just like the phrase?
If you want a good documentary, you should watch No Whammies, The Press Your Luck Story.
Come on.
That's not a thing.
It is a thing. There's a guy named
Michael Carson.
Hold on. Stay on topic. I know your ADHD is kicking in. You want to go to something else. But we're right at Press Your Luck. There was a guy named Michael. I'm going to make it quick because you'll love it. This guy named Michael Larson, all right? Mm. And basically when Press Your Luck came out, he tried to get on over and over. He wanted to get on that game show. And he would tape it every day in his VCR. And what he noticed was there was a pattern to the lights.
I did.
And there were only four patterns, Omar. Four. The lights would only go in four different things. I don't even know. Four different sequences, right? And then he realized, oh, my God, I know how to get 5,000 and a spin every time. And he finally got on the show, and he did it. Boom, boom, 5,000 a spin, 5,000 a spin, 5,000 a spin.
Oh, my God.
It was insane. And it was the producers were like, they couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. And then finally they realized it clicked, like, oh, my God, this guy. And he didn't do anything illegal or wrong, but he gamed the system. And you know how the shows would wrap up in half an hour? They couldn't wrap up his show because he wouldn't pass his spins. And he had like an average win there would be like 10 grand back then. 15 grand would be amazing if you won that on Press Your Luck. He was six figures deep. He was $140,000, whatever he did, before he finally realized, I don't want to screw this up. Let me pass it. That's good enough. And the sad part of this is he got robbed. Shortly after and died penniless. It was very sad. But the story's amazing. The documentary is amazing. It's really cool. And they ended up, they realized it, and they had to change the entire algorithm of the lights and put in something a little bit more complex and random.
Yeah, randomize it. That seems to make sense.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for I ended up watching it, and I couldn't it's five episodes in this documentary about American Gladiators, and it was great. I just remember a lot of this, good. And so zoomed right through it. So, Josh, why don't you go next? Omar, you all right going last?
Yeah, of course.
All right, Josh, you want to go next?
All right, okay. Yeah, so a little while ago, in fact, it was about a year ago, on this podcast, I talked about my college buddies, we always go away every year, and we rent a house, and we're there for a long weekend. You guys remember? I talked about that.
Yep.
And so we had an incident with our house last year. I don't know if you remember, but we got there and the pool water was green and then we couldn't go in it. And they had to, you know, the filter, they had sent someone over, the filter was broken. We couldn't go in the pool the entire weekend. So that was a big bummer because that's one of the main reasons why we chose the house. And then my buddy in the upstairs, deck, the top deck almost fell through the whole deck. And, cause they had like one of those outdoor carpets on the deck in the middle, like a throw rug. And when we lifted it up after he almost fell through while he was sitting on one of the chairs, we noticed that all the boards were rotted under there. And so we were livid. We're like, this is ridiculous. How could, you know, they don't tell us this and there's no, you know, don't go on this deck. It could be dangerous. And by the way, sorry about the pool, nothing. And we communicated with them and long story short, we ended up fighting the thing. We're like, we're not paying the balance of this house. I mean, this is ridiculous. You sold us a bag of goods and, you know, none of the amenities that we wanted, the whole reason why we came up here, were not
can
available.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
When you fight it among your buddies, yeah. Are you like a ringleader or are you like the middle or are you like
– Yeah.
That's a good – I think he's in the middle.
Yeah, I think
there's probably some that are like even more obnoxious.
Oh yeah. First of all, half my buddies are attorneys. So that's the one thing. So they're like, oh, this is no good. And so basically the bottom line there was you can contest the house through the site that you rented on. I won't say what site, but you can contest it that way. And then you can also, my one buddy, and by the way, this was in St. Louis, and my one friend who I think I told you guys, we went to St. Louis only because he was so sick of coming, getting on a plane for this weekend. He's like, you guys have to come to St. Louis. So he's the one who got this house. So he put it in his name, on his American Express. So we contested it on his American Express and we told him, hey, go through American Express and tell them this and tell them we're not paying it because of these things that happened. Right.
I love that you, yes, one guy's responsible basically.
Yeah. Well, look,
pushed them.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. That's how it works. You know, it's brute force. And so what ended up happening was they both came back to us, the site and American Express, and said, okay, we have notified the rentor of your issues and your complaint that you've put down in writing.
So
and they have until this date to combat it, or we're considering the case closed. So we're like, okay, wait. So we were expecting them to come back to us and be like, listen, I know we're sorry. What if I take X amount off? Would that be acceptable to you guys? And we would have said, fine, we get it. But you know, you can't do this with your house. I mean, it's awful. You know, this is the one weekend of the year we do this and this is what you give us. That's bullshit. But they never responded. The rentor never responded to either the website or American Express. So they both sent us letters or sent my buddy a letter saying case closed. It's over. So we're like, oh, this is awesome. We don't have to pay anything. Well, let me fast forward to this last weekend. My one buddy has decided, hey, and he takes my one friend who's in St. Louis, takes him off the text chain, right? And just the rest of us, he goes, I have a great idea. What if we wrote a letter to our one friend from a fake law firm and told him that we are going to sue him for defamation of character, because here's the other part of this. My buddy's a doctor in St. Louis, right? The one who rented the house. The guy whose house it was, we found out as we were there, by the way, this is not a new revelation, but when we were there, we found out he said, oh, I know the guy who owns this house.
Oh no.
It's another doctor, but I don't know him well, but I know of him and we have friends in common, right?
Oh boy.
So we put that in the brain bank. And then brought this out, and my one friend said, let's write him a letter. And he did. Well, he's an attorney, and he constructed this letter. And it was, oh, my God, when I say it was beautiful, it was beautiful. The whole speak, and we were suing him basically for defamation of character.
Oh, my God, I love this.
$50,000. $50,000, right? And the whole thing was, my buddy said, listen, let's just see what happens, because – our one friend, he is a doctor, by the way, and he's a surgeon too, but he's also a bit of an idiot. Okay. He's very
good. Does he listen to the show?
He does. He's very good at what he does. He knows who he is. He's very
Wait, is this the one that you wouldn't be comfortable having him as your doctor?
Correct. That's exactly right.
That is, man, that's your friend.
Give me his name because I live in St. Louis. I want to make
I want to use him. I bet he's great.
You only use him if you need a transplant of some sort, and I won't reveal too much more. But he's the preeminent guy, by the way. So he's the main dude, which is amazing. So he's done something right. But
are
he's
they
a moron.
Necessary organs?
Yeah, these are necessary organs. Right, 100%.
Like some kind of weird transplant.
No. This is not a pinky toe transplant.
Okay.
This you need. So we basically use that knowledge that we had of this somewhat consequential relationship between these doctors and said, "Hey, we heard you've been bad mouthing me to other the medical community. We're suing you for $50,000." And my one friend showed us, he goes, and at the end, he put a footnote in, like in italics and in small font. It said, "You're being punked."
Oh, right away.
Yeah. And so we told him, we're like, "No, take that out. Take that out. Geez. Because we want this to really carry on for a long time." And so we then had a bet. So he goes, "I'm going to send it." He sent it on Monday, this last Monday. He goes, "Let's take a bet on how fast he comes back to us." And that was at an hour. Everyone goes, over an hour. He said, "Under an hour. This is going to be under an hour." Sure enough, in literally like 25 minutes after he sent it, my buddy gets on the text chain. "You guys got to see what I just got," and sends it. He goes, "These guys are suing us for 50. And we go, first of all, they're not suing us. He's suing you. And then what's hilarious is he's asking my other buddies who are attorneys, like, what should I do? What do I do? He said, "First, you need the lawyer up. But second, you should probably settle. I would settle with him for 20 grand, something like that."
So, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what we're telling him. And he's
everyone's like holding it together. They're not dying.
They're all in on it. He FaceTimed all of us. He FaceTimed. You know, you group FaceTime.
Oh, wow.
You're like,
that's the best thing he could have done. Everyone gets to enjoy it.
It was hilarious. Now, some guys stayed off of it because they couldn't hold it together. But I was on it. He's like, "Why am I being sued for this?" I said, "Hey. You knew the doctor, right?" He said, "Well, I don't really know him." I'm like, "Did you tell any other doctor about that weekend?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "There you go. It's your fault." It was like he fed right into it. So anyway, so after about a couple hours of this, where he's freaking out, where he wants, we had a plan. Like he was going to go to an attorney. We convinced him not to do that. That we knew an attorney that would help him because we obviously don't want him going to an attorney and firing someone for a phony,
an actor.
No, we were going to do that. We were going to do the whole thing. We had all lined up. But then he comes back to us a few hours later and goes, "You sons of bitches." He goes,
"I got it.
I finally read the whole thing at the bottom. My buddy left that footnote in." And we were so pissed at him that he did that because we all told him to take it out. We were going to run with this. The reason I tell you all this story is it was so brilliantly done. It was such a golden opportunity that you don't get often with one of your friends to just really put them through the ringer in just a very mean and cruel way, but in a fun way.
It's all fun
for the rest of us. That we were so angry at our one friend who concocted the letter that put that footnote in. Let me ask where you guys sit. Would you have put that footnote in, or would you be more like us and say, "Get that out of there. Let's make this a multi-week event, multi-week prank, rather than just a fun 2-hour thing to scare the shit out of them"? Were we in the wrong for wanting that footnote out?
I do. Well, if I go for it, I think when it's a lawyer doing it just for fun. Like, if it goes haywire.
Wait, can we talk about this guy's character a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Like, is he the kind of guy who, like, is he a troublemaker? Is he a rabble rouser?
No, he's not. And the funny thing is that we knew it. The whole reason it started was really more innocent. Like, hey, how fast is he going to shit his pants, really? Because he's like you, Omar. He's got ADHD, and he's not going to. The whole thing was, is he going to read the whole thing or not? And we were trying to bet on whether or not he'd know it was a joke because he read through it. And then it was, no, he's going to be impulsive and read like 3 lines and see 50 grand defamation and skim and then go nuts and blow his top. And sure enough, it was the latter. And that's when it developed into more stuff like, oh, there's so much we can do with this.
You know what I think I would have done? I would have kept it out of the letter. But when he called, I would have let it last for like 10, 15 minutes, recorded it, and then, you know, told him the real story. I think I would have a little bit longer, a week long.
We were going to go, Dave. This was such. We viewed this as such gold, as such a generational opportunity here. I mean, if you think about it, this is more than just putting Saran wrap on the toilet seat and getting a good laugh when they piss and it doesn't go in the water and bounces back on them.
Yeah.
This is about having someone get so rattled and having their whole world shaken, and you are pulling the strings like a puppeteer. And the funny thing was, he said to us, which was hilarious, because his wife is a firecracker. And he goes, you guys are lucky, because he FaceTimed us at he was at work. He was at the hospital when he read this and FaceTimed all of us. He was in his scrubs when he called us. He said, if I would have gotten home and not known and told his wife about this, she would have called that doctor who was, quote unquote,
that's
suing him,
yes,
and reamed him out. And we went, oh, that would have been amazing.
Oh, no. There is a limit.
Is his wife like Susie on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
In a way, yeah. In a way.
That's amazing.
She would have gone off. We did a prank once. It was during COVID. We got together. We did our weekend during COVID, like a year into COVID. You know what I mean? Not the first initial period of COVID, but like when everyone was still kind of worried about COVID. And we went up to the house, and the prank was, and we have it all on video, which is, I'll have to show it to you guys because it's hilarious. And we took bets. We were each going to call our wives one by one and put them on speaker. And we were going to tell them that this one guy in our group had to leave. He had to go back for like a family thing. And then he was like for a few hours, then he was coming back, which he did. And we were going to tell them that this guy came back and gave us all, it found out that the event he was at, someone had COVID. And that now we all have to be quarantined in this house for 2 weeks, and we'll be gone for 2 weeks. And so that was the deal. So we each called our wives one by one, put it on speaker, and recorded it. And his wife went ballistic, and it was hilarious. We have it all.
She's cursing him out. That is fucking gold.
It was gold. It was absolute gold. It was so funny.
That is fucking gold.
Yeah. Do you think it's funny?
Yeah.
No?
No, she did. I don't know if she thinks it's funny now, but she was so angry with him and he couldn't keep it together. And then even when he told her like, hey, it's a joke. We don't have COVID. We're not going to be, she still beat the living shit out of him verbally. And it was hilarious. And he's like, you're on speaker. And she didn't care. It didn't matter. It was funny.
Now, have you ever done this? I've had some pranks like that where, maybe this is like the biggest jerk thing to do, but I would call your buddy and say, hey, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get this letter. But then what I want you to do is you tell these people, as soon as I got it, I walked right to the doctor and I punched him right in the face. And now I have the police are here. Like you could now reverse the joke back on your buddies. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, that's good. I know I have, because I know that, you know, when you flip the script on the person who's trying to play the joke.
Yep.
But I can't think of a circumstance, a particular.
You guys
thing.
Are
you
both
one?
Like jokesters. I love how you do these like elaborate things.
The reversal is like justified because I don't feel any sympathy for the people putting the joke. They were the ones starting in the first place. So
yes.
When you get to that place, like, oh my gosh, this has gone out of control.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Yeah. We should never have done that. And that's beautiful too. So you have to kind of pick and choose which side you want to be on. Cause once you do it though, then the next joke is going to be on you. Like you can't.
That's true.
You're the target then, but so you have to really pick your spot.
This guy is such an easy target though, and that's why it was like it was gold.
Yeah,
it was absolute gold. Cause we knew his response before we even sent the letter. We knew exactly what was going to happen. He'd just lose his shit.
Haven't any of your pranks gone awry?
Oh God!
And like, you mean like someone dying? What does that mean?
Well, I got arrested for one in college, so
there you go. That's a riot.
It wasn't terrible. If I don't really want to get into, I probably should. But yes, I've had a few pranks that went wrong, and to the point where I was like, "Oh, why do I do this? I should stop."
Yeah.
And so that's why I would probably do it, but then I would probably let him know quickly so he didn't do something he'd regret.
I had one I felt really bad about. That was, it was funny. It got a great laugh, but I did feel really bad about it at the time. So it was a job I was in, one of my first jobs, and it was right after 9/11. So, I know this is going to sound weird, but it was like a month after 9/11.
okay, or like even like 2 or 3 weeks after 9/11. It was right when, I'll tell you exactly what it was. Because it was right when they lifted the air travel. You know how they stopped air travel for a while?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so it was right when they lifted it and people were back flying. And we had this big open, like, trading floor, right? It wasn't the trading floor, but you get the idea. Big open space, bunch of cubes. Think about that. And in the middle of them, we had a Bloomberg terminal, okay? And so for people who don't know what a Bloomberg terminal is, it's basically just a computer that you can go look up stocks and
news, whatever.
News, yep. And stuff nudes? Like all related to the market.
Nudes.
Not nudes. Nudes. News. Yeah. There's no nudes on Bloomberg.
You got to pay extra for that.
Yeah. And we had this one woman, Melody, who was in sales. And she comes roaring into the office. And she says, oh, my God, I have a friend who's supposed to be flying to X. I don't remember where it was. But I don't know whether she's landed and I can't find her flight information and I'm so worried with everything that's going on. I'm so tense. I'm, you know, and she was getting very upset, right? A little like, ragged. And I
perfect
said to
target.
Her,
perfect target,
perfect target, right? This is how I felt bad. I said to her, and now you got to think of this. It's like 50 people that are all in earshot. Everyone can hear this. We're all sitting in cubes all around. I said, Melody, go to the Bloomberg terminal and look it up. You'll find the information on the Bloomberg terminal. That's where you'll get it. She goes, okay, what do I do? She goes, I said, it's voice activated. Just talk into the screen. So she is there. It's not, by the way. She's going, U.S. Air flight 25 from Chicago. What's the status? And she's going, Josh, it's not doing anything. You have to talk into, you got to get closer to the screen.
Louder, yeah.
I felt awful because she was obviously like, in a bad way. Yeah, she was distressed that her friend, she couldn't find where her friend's flight was, and she just screaming at the screen like an idiot. And it was very funny.
That, yeah, the consequence of that, other her being upset. Yeah.
She actually laughed. She actually, thankfully, she took it in good, with good intent. Yeah, she was pretty calm about it at the end. And I think it actually, in a weird way, kind of de-stressed her. That, you know, was kind of funny, but, yeah, that was, I remember that to this day vividly. It was so funny. She's just yelling at a computer screen thinking that it hears her.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell about the ones that went awry for me because they're too painful to talk about.
Is it that bad? You got to give us one, Dave.
Give us one.
Yeah. You got to give us one.
Can I tell you this one, about the dog at my cousin's house? Have I ever told you about that one?
No.
So it's such a weird story, but so my cousin was leaving for a trip to Florida and they were driving from Wisconsin. So it's a fairly long trip.
That's a long trip.
They had to leave their dog behind. Someone was going to take care of the dog. We had a guy, his name was Bill in our circle of friends. And he was like this military enthusiast guy who's really weird. And he said, hey, when you're gone, I'm going to hang your dog. He meant it to be funny.
He was kidding around.
He had a weird sense of humor, right?
Yeah, that's
weird. So my cousin was like, go ahead. I don't care. Like she just would call this guy's bluff all the time.
Yeah.
And, so then, the Sunday before they were driving back, this guy Bill and a few buddies said, hey, we're going to make a fake dog and we're going to hang it from their basketball hoop.
Oh my God.
Did I tell you?
Fuck.
This is awful.
What, is this basic instinct?
This is awful.
All right. So then I was like, no, I'm not doing it. That's stupid. So then before they go to my cousin's house, they stop at my house and they say, hey, come look and see what we did. We made a dog. And what they did is took some two shirts. They like somehow sewed the two shirts together. So the two sets of arms were the legs. And they made this sort of head. And it looked like I was
who's
like, wow.
Doing this?
I don't know. It's some idiot friend.
Is this a clock? Is this a scene out of Clockwork Orange?
This is so awful. It's so anyway. So I looked at it. I was like, wow, you guys put a lot of effort into this dog. I thought, all right, let's do this. But if we're going to do this, like we have to be quick. We got to get in and out of there quickly because I don't want the neighbors. You know, it's kind of a weird thing to do, but my cousin will get it.
It's kind of Josh. Kind
yeah,
of
right,
thing.
Right. Yeah. So we get there. We do it like, you know, Mission Impossible. We like get their rope over the hoop and tie it in where we go. But we realize, you know, when you see the dog in the car, like on the ground, it's all fours. But when you hang it from its head and the legs are hanging down, it doesn't look like a dog anymore. So what it turns out, my uncle, my aunt, and
this conversation is very, very awkward. I just talked
four cousins. Drove back straight from Florida. They get
no, they
in,
didn't.
And they got in like where it was kind of dusk into dark. And as they pull up, they see what they think is a body hanging from the basketball hoop.
They left their vacation early, Dave? They left their vacation
early?
No.
They were coming back anyway. But when they pulled up to their house, what they saw was something hanging from the basketball hoop that looked like a body. So we were hanging out that night, and we said, all right, let's drive by and see what they said. Because for some reason, we thought they would be like, you guys got us. We pull up to the house, and my cousin comes screaming up to the car and says, please, I won't be mad. Just tell me it was you guys. She was like, she thought, you know, it was like some kind of like perverse prank. Like, she completely forgot that Bill had said about the dog, which I don't know why we thought she'd remember.
She thought someone was sending her a message.
Yeah, some like really weird signal or something. And my one buddy was in the car in front and goes, it wasn't us. And she comes to me. And I was like, oh, it was us. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
And then she was like, I won't get mad. But she was mad, as it turned out.
Yes. That's a bad one.
So we drove off, and we were all like, that was really a bad idea. Why did we do that? Why did we do that? And so I had a lot of apologizing to do for that. So stuff like that I've done. I know it sounds really – it's a lot different than yelling at a Bloomberg terminal. But
I don't feel bad about mine anymore now that you told that story.
That's not my worst one. God. Oh, my gosh. So I've got a few others too. But they were not anything in the last 10 years. I think in the last 10 years, I've been much, much smarter. So
there you go. Yeah. You're maturing.
I am.
You're growing up, Dave.
Omar, let's wrap this baby up. What's your topic tonight?
I had a lot of options, by the way, at this time.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, Josh gave me a shitty TV show to watch, Waco. I had to stop watching it. It was so depressing. And I can't listen to him with TV
depressing
shows.
Depressing or shitty?
Depressing.
There's a huge difference.
Depressing. Like
it's a documentary. It's a true story. It's fascinating.
Yeah. So I couldn't watch that, right? Mm-hmm. And then my other friend drinks out of a faucet still. I'm like, who does that? I wanted to talk about that. Exactly. A person that we know very well.
What do you mean drinks out of a faucet?
Hold on. Stop. They turn the faucet and put their head underneath it?
Yes.
Okay, but I've done that.
Recently?
I tell you when I do it. When I get up in the middle of the night and I want something to drink and I forgot to bring water up, I'll put my hand under the faucet real quick, get something, go back to bed.
In the bathroom?
Yeah, of course. What am I going to go downstairs, get a cup?
How about if you're in the kitchen? In the kitchen?
No. That's ridiculous.
Okay, he was caught doing it in the kitchen.
Okay,
yeah, that's
is that
weird.
Your topic?
That's fucking weird. Nobody could be.
No, he can. That's not really a topic.
Oh, we can stretch that out. That is weird. I don't understand the rationale behind that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of problems, okay?
But don't forget, when we grew up, we used to drink from the garden hose. Didn't you ever drink from the garden hose?
That's true.
Yeah. That's way worse.
But when you're that thirsty, wasn't it delicious from the garden hose? Even that metal taste, but you were
so
thirsty.
It was cold.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Good day. Metallic. It was wonderful.
So my topic is neither one of those two. It's something a little different that happened last night. So last night I'm having dinner in Puerto Rico, and I am sitting next to this lovely couple, and they're talking about what the rest of their week's gonna look like, and they're mentioning going to this restaurant and that restaurant, and I'm like, oh, they're clearly visiting, right? So I go, I'm sorry, I'm like, hi, you guys. Visiting, like, yeah, we're here for a week, and we want to take a break. And I'm like, oh, where do you guys live? And they live in New York. I'm like, oh. And we talked about that. And I'm like, more importantly, let me tell you what restaurants you have to go to when you're here. And we talked about that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then we start talking a little more. And it turns out that the guy, his name is Idrid.
Don't give his name.
No, listen to me. It's going to be he's famous.
Okay, go ahead.
He plays the lead in Hamilton. Literally, the lead. He's the lead in Hamilton.
Is that Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Miranda, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And they did their last show in Puerto Rico, so he's here, and he was here with his fiance or wife. I think they're married, but they're about to move in together. Hannah Cruz, who they met on the show, on the Hamilton play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's about to have her own as a lead in a Broadway show. Guess about what? The Da Vinci Code.
Well, you didn't let me guess.
Yeah, I was.
You said Da Vinci guess Code? About what? And then
that
you
was going to be my guess, by the way. Darn you!
I was going to say Mary Todd Lincoln.
I mean, how do you convert that into a Broadway show? It'd be kind of cool, right?
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah,
you could make that into a Broadway show.
Yeah,
they made Rocky.
I've got the codes. You want them? Da Vinci. Right? That's the lead number right there.
I think that's – I think you're on something with that.
Yeah. So, I never saw the movie.
So I – you know, I don't know. Like, I decided – I just love meeting artists and, you know, people who sort of create their own path. So I, of course, like, you know, I bought their – I paid for their dinner.
Of course. You know, that makes sense.
Of course.
And so they – apparently they found out about it. And
– found out about what?
About me paying for their dinner.
Yeah, how did they find out? You know that's going to happen, right?
Well, I told the waitress not to tell.
Detectives too?
I told the waitress not to tell.
What are you talking about?
Because I didn't want the acknowledgement. It's better to do these actions to do that, right? But anyway, my point is, it doesn't matter. They knew it was me. Fine.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You're like that Curb Your Enthusiasm with Ted Danson donates the wing. And it's anonymous. Don't even anonymous. And you tell everyone, hey, I'm anonymous.
No, anonymous.
I said you. Omar, like, flipping his credit card up and
that's
down.
That's you. You're anonymous.
No, but they did thank. They're like, listen, you know, whenever you're in New York, you want to go to our shows, we can return the favor. Please let us know. And awesome. I'm like, huh. That's like, but I didn't do it for that reason. But now it's kind of cool because, like, so is that, what should I do with that? Should I say, I want to go to a Broadway show?
Yes. 100%.
Can I ask? When I go to these shows, I need to be second row, not front row, second row center.
What's the difference?
Well, my point is, if they give me like shitty seats,
oh my God.
I'm not going to want to go.
Front row is
serious. Are you being serious?
Well, this is my question. Should I factor that in, or should I assume as long as I get backstage passes, that's the most important thing?
And now you want to go backstage?
Yeah, of course. So then, I want to know what goes on back there. I want to see all the ropes. You know the ropes they have on whatever those ropes do.
Yeah.
I want to see what those ropes do.
The sandbags.
You want to see
the sandbags? Isn't that the job?
Is there really sand in there?
Isn't that the job of the key grip? I never knew what a key grip was.
So,
I don't know.
So if I follow up, and actually he sent me a DM on Instagram. He's lovely. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, is it weird for me to say I'd love to come and I look forward to meeting you guys backstage?
No.
Well, Wait, before you go into that, can we back up with the story?
Yeah.
Because we gotta squeeze out the embellishment here, right?
Okay.
So, because we know that it's embellishment's part of the story. So you're sitting next to them, they're talking. Are you at tables?
Yeah, tables. Two tables.
So like, you're not at a bar, you're at tables.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So you're eating and then it's time for their check. Well, how do you intercept the check? I guess that's my first
question. Yeah, you got up from the table.
We had the same waitress. And I told her on my other shoulder, I'm like, hey, listen, can I please pay for their dinner? Mm. Don't let them know it was me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
in
it was a loud whisper. It was obviously
a very loud whisper.
Like, yeah. And then she did that.
Okay. So you were assuming they would be like, wait, someone paid for my dinner. Who could that be?
Who could that be? It could be anybody. Here.
Listen, guys, I try to have a little bit of humility, okay?
No, you don't.
What if they had leaned to the people on their left and said, thank you so much, and they took credit for it? What would you do then?
Have you guys ever kept someone in a Starbucks or whatever, and they don't see you tip it, so you take the money out if they want? Yeah. So I've done that before.
Yeah.
So I probably would have caused a ruckus, maybe.
Remember Costanza did that in the calzones. He goes, I take care of my paisans, and he puts it in. The guy turns his back. He doesn't see it.
But you do that too, right? You wait till they're looking, right?
Of
that's
course.
The whole
you
point. Yeah,
to.
That's not – okay, so I'm not being selfish. Yeah. So you intercepted the check. Were you still sitting there when they – did you just get up and leave so the whole thing happened? No, well, they talked to you.
We left before they did. So that's why I paid.
So
how did they offer you the tickets to the play?
How did that happen?
They followed me on Instagram. I'm sorry.
What?
And they asked me what my Instagram was, and I gave them it. And then the guy texted me and saying, hey, listen, let me know if I can return the favor.
Let me ask you a question. When you woke up, did you think it was real that all this happened?
Yes.
Yes?
He goes, hey, man, it's great to meet you last night. You really didn't need to pay for our meal. That was truly too kind. We would love to repay the favor next time you're in New York. Bless
you. Can I ask, how much was their bill?
Give a range.
It was a couple, $200.
So in exchange for Broadway seats, that's pretty good. That's actually pretty good. So number one, you have to
backstage passes.
Oh, you don't know it's backstage.
But how do I, that's my point. How do I get to that point without coming across as a jerk?
Oh, that's a good question. So now he's got the offer. He wants to parlay them into a backstage.
I get it.
Without coming across as someone who's not grateful.
I get it. I think you can't do it because if you were to broach that and say, I hope to see you after the show. Oh, that's one way to do it, actually.
Yeah, I was thinking, I've got two options.
Ooh,
let's get dinner after the show. Yes, or Josh, that's it.
That's it. Or you want to grab a drink after the show.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they'll say either yes and then meet me backstage, or they'll say, you know, after the show I like to decompress. Why don't you just come backstage afterwards?
This is great. Yeah. I'm sure this is the first time this podcast has ever added any value to my life outside of context.
Play it out, though. Please. Play out those scenarios. What if they say, sure, love to meet you as a place next door. We'll meet you there. Then what does he do?
He has to meet him.
Well,
but can he? Listen to me. I would be the darling of Broadway. If I can get into this demographic.
That's a big leap.
Yeah, I could be like the guy who discovered the Backstreet Boys. One of those guys.
How are you discovering anything? These people are already on Broadway.
Oh, that's true.
The guy played Alexander Hamilton.
Well, maybe I could be their agent.
They have agents.
Oh, that's tough.
Not as good as Omar, though, probably.
I'm not a very good agent, actually.
What knowledge does Omar have about the industry? None.
I think the other option is you say, hey, love to see you. Thanks so much. By the way, I have a podcast. Listen to episode 49. Oh,
yes.
And then they
part of our dinner conversation.
Yes. Yes. I talked about our meeting on the podcast. And then you can tell all their Broadway friends. And then, hear me out. What's the guy's name? Edred. Featuring Edred as Alexander Hamilton in the Broadway musical Hamilton, sponsored by FTS, Friends Talking Shop. If they could do that and put that on the playbill, that would be great.
Well, Edward and Hannah. Yeah.
Can you do that? Can you get our name of our podcast on the playbill, Omar?
Now that's bringing us into the circle.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
You can't think just yourself.
And if they could, on like their three-cornered hats, if you could put like our logo. That would be amazing.
Maybe we do a Hamilton-themed episode.
No.
Wait, what number president was Hamilton? Was he president?
He wasn't president.
He
was never president.
3.5.
Chief of staff?
No, he's not chief of staff. He was secretary of defense in the Iraqi war.
Treasury.
He was the treasurer. Yeah, first treasurer.
I thought you were serious.
No, I was not.
Well, what if we did a fake?
Was he the WMD guy?
Yes, he was the weapons inspector. Yeah,
right, yeah. He was the one.
That's who he was, yes.
But I think we do a fake podcast where we make Omar seem humble, where we say, like, Omar, this is great. Maybe you could get backstage pass. And Omar would say, like, no, I don't want to impose.
Guys.
And we would say, but Omar, it's been your dream to be backstage. Like, we know this is your dream. This is your chance. And you could say, no, my anxiety won't allow me. Like, we could make up a podcast where when they hear it, they'll be like, can you hear this guy? He's got real problems. We should get him backstage.
I think he has an in right now with what we just mapped out. He's literally asking to be backstage without asking to be backstage.
It's very good. Because, like, I know late night places still in New York that are still open, a few. But maybe they can take me to a place.
I feel like
I'm losing touch with my city.
Okay. First of all, your city's Baltimore. That's number one. That's where you were born and raised.
I grew up in the
suburbs. You lived in New York. You lived in New York. Suburbs.
I became half a man in New York.
Okay. This is the plan. We have the plan. It's excellent.
Yeah, it's a very good plan.
Yeah, you just have to follow through with it, and it would be so cool.
It's not a great plan. It's got 25% of working out.
I think it's higher.
Are we getting backstage or just getting the drink?
No, this is all about backstage, not even about the drink.
Yeah,
the drink is the can I come backstage question.
I understand
about
that. I think there's a chance they say, mm-hmm. love to meet you at the restaurant.
Fine. Then so be it. Then that's where it goes.
But let me ask you this. Do you think that if you spent time with, you know, these creative, cultured, people, that they would find you interesting, that they actually want to see you again, theoretically?
Me, yes. 100%. Dave's a rock, so I highly doubt.
That's right. It depends on whether they need more rocks in their life.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God. Yeah, that'd be a fun dinner.
Big Country. Yeah. Are they big country fans?
They're big country, yeah. Why don't you bring up Big Country? People in Broadway love talking Oklahoma State basketball.
But yeah, I feel like I've had a resolution to this thing. This is good.
I will execute on that. You know what reminds me of? There's a show on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave, and it's a skit show. It's very funny.
Yep. And one of the skits on the new season was the guy goes through the drive-thru and he says, oh, just take a burger and fries, right? And he says, and you know what? I'm going to pay for the guy. I want to pay it forward. I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to pay for the guy behind me. He goes, so, you know, so he's like, okay. He's like, no problem. And then the guy, as soon as he gets out, he zooms around and gets behind the guy that he was just behind in his car and goes to drive through and he goes, I'll take 55 burgers, 55 fries, 75 milkshakes because he wants him to pay it forward to the next car.
That's
and the guy gets out. That's what you are. You're that guy. You want to pay it forward, but you want something in return for right. paying it
that's
forward.
Terrible.
That's the whole purpose of paying it forward.
That is David, can I have some backup here? That is terrible.
Yeah,
why is it terrible?
I just said that's a great example.
Thank you.
I commend you, Josh.
Your topic was how do I make the best of my great gesture? That's the title of your topic.
It's good content. Was it good content or not? We're here.
You know, comment on the content on the show. That's an after show.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But listen. I think there's a lot of room for improvement in all of our behaviors, you know.
what kind of wrap up is that?
That's not even related to what you were saying. That's so true. You know, at the end of the day, we should all be more thankful. I think that's right.
Yes,
that's
very right. much so.
That's,
very much so. Follow through with this and report back to us and let me
know
how it goes. I'm dying to know if you get
can't
back.
Can't you do it now?
Then you can tell us what a key grip does.
Well, I'm in New York in a I want to be there for a few days, and I don't want to do it immediately. Like, hey, I'm next week. Can I come up?
You do. Because
really?
These chance occurrences, right? These chance meetings, they fade very fast. Your gesture of buying their meal.
That's a really good point,
correct.
Josh.
Every day that passes, that becomes less and less of a great gesture in their minds. And then eventually they'll forget about it until they're reminded. Oh, remember that guy picked up our meal once? That was interesting. And then that's it. It's gone. Mm. So you got to strike when the iron's hot. I'm in New York next week. And while they remember you too, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to take you up on that. Love to come see your show.
Yeah, and I think a week's a little too tight. It's a little
no,
too
it's
like,
not.
You know, Kate Fear.
Omar, you didn't just – look, it would be weird if you – no one's going to think you – bought a plane ticket to come to New York just because they made that offer. It would be one thing if it was in your town and they said, hey, if you want to see a Broadway show here or see a show in Puerto Rico that I'm in, let me know. And you did it right away.
But
okay.
You know, when people say to you, like marketers call you guys, hey, I happen to be in town today. You want to get
That's
coffee?
It's way different.
Is
it's
it?
Not even, it's not the same thing. You did a
David,
gesture.
David, do you agree with what he's saying?
They offered unsolicited.
That might be
unsolicited. They offered.
My instinct is to send a response back, say that's so nice of you. I only will do it as if I can take you out for a drink after, and then give it a little bit of time.
That is so good, David.
And then say, hey, I'm coming back
to
New York.
Look at David.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Jeez.
Boy, this rock is getting some movement.
I'm sorry.
I'm not just lying there.
I'm incapable of giving a compliment without being dismissive at the same time.
No kidding.
David,
that was fantastic.
Great.
Thank you. That was fantastic.
But give it a little bit of time in between that message back and I'm in New York. Because if they say, like, oh, great, well, when are you in New York? You're like, well, now as it turns out, I'm there in a couple weeks.
This is why David's the boss.
Yeah, it's very good. It is good. I would reverse it, though. I would say, like, listen, I'm actually going to be in New York next week. I'd love to see you. Can I take you out for a drink after one of your shows?
Yeah, no, see, that's what I just said.
Like,
I wouldn't do
it. I would bring somebody with me, and, like, who would I bring? I'd bring, like, my goddaughter.
Okay, well, that's nothing to do with anything.
Well, actually, my niece moves to New York in August, so maybe I'll do it then when my niece is here, but she loves that stuff.
Okay, but don't let it go too long. They're going to forget about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool to, like, be able to show off things to, like, your godkids and your nieces.
Yeah, see, do you understand what you just said again?
What?
Everything you do now is with a purpose to make you look better.
No, you don't understand. I don't have kids, okay? I need to maximize.
I do understand.
I need to maximize caretakers for me.
Listen.
Okay?
That's what I'm thinking about. You have an ulterior motive with everything you do, and it's just been revealed yet again. You had an ulterior motive with buying them.
Arterial?
Not ulterior. Ulterior. Ulterior.
You know what you meant.
You have that motive too. You have all of it. You have all the motives. And now you have a motive for bringing your goddaughter to show her how cool you are that I can get.
No, I'm being silly about that, but I do, of course,
are
I love
you?
Her.
Are you?
Listen, how many godchildren?
I have
17.
No, I would say like 9.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
And you're prepared to raise these children if it comes to it?
Yeah, of course.
You should have clauses.
Because everything I do with a kid would ultimately fold into all my other friends' lives too with their kids. It wouldn't make a difference.
That would be a nightmare. Yeah, no.
You should have a clause that once you're the godparent of 4, all the other godparent contracts that you have are dissolved. I would get an attorney on that right away.
Or that would be a great reality TV show.
What happens if all 9 of them are on a flight together on a
Oh my God, Josh!
I'm just bringing up a specific.
Jesus, don't
you
talk
gotta be thinking about this when you accept your 9th godparent responsibility.
That's a lie. Yeah, you have 9 kids on your doorstep. Yeah, you don't want that. It's awful.
Yeah. You're not thinking through these things. This is why we're here too.
You gotta think through of every possibility, my friend.
We're here to help you on the things you want to hear about and the things you don't.
Well,
and,
this was very good. David was wonderful. It was just wonderful.
It really was. Every show, if you go back, listen to it backwards, I say something insightful.
Yeah, there's
I think that this might be our apex. This episode.
Oh, that's good. Right before our 50th.
Yeah, right.
All you have to say, at 50, it's all downhill.
All downhill.
Yeah. That's so true. Well, on that happy note, let's wrap up this episode. Yes. We're looking forward to episode 50. 50's coming up.
50 extravaganza.
Yeah. We'll have it'll be more like a variety show. There'll be some singing and dancing, and lots of stuff will happen. I'm looking forward to it a lot. Again, our email address is friends@fts.media. Feel free to let us know what you think. If we said anything offensive or wrong, you can keep that to yourself. But everything else, send to the email address I just gave you. And until next time, hopefully it's not 5 weeks like
that. Can I make one request from our listeners?
Why not? Sure.
If any of you want to write in about something that really pisses you off, let us know, because I'm sure it pisses one of us off too, of something that happened to you. It'd be nice to hear about somebody venting.
We would love that. Or give us a topic that you're confused about.
Omar, if they wrote in something that you bother them, you would not want like that. You're assuming it's one of us.
No, I'm not saying us. I'm saying in life in general, like some guy today.
Oh, I'm sorry. It
annoyed me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Like stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Please, we would, especially for our 50th. If you've been listening to more than 10, you owe us an email. So
yes,
for our 50th,
I agree.
Are you driving on a road and there's a car ahead of you? It's going like 4 to 7 miles per hour.
47 or 4 to 7?
I'm sorry, like 5 miles per hour.
Okay.
Like, and you can't get, and they're not going, they're, I don't know what they're doing, but it happens. Yeah. And what do you do there?
Yeah, you pass them. Or you honk your horn. That's a horrible example, everybody. But something that actually.
I'm just trying to figure it out. What do you mean by that?
No, I'm saying these people, it arouses this sense of, you know, angst and frustration. It's the Michael Douglas movie, Falling Down.
People who don't email?
Yes. I'm saying let it out. Let it out.
Oh, let it out. All right, I got it. I'm with you. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
By the way, I somehow landed up, by the way. I had no idea how I got there. Well, somehow landed.
We're here to help you. We're your co-pilots, Omar.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, everybody. See you later.
See ya.
Smell ya.